Eleanor, I am taping you because you know so much of the life and background of Oscar Palmer, who was a very important man to Westporters. In this house on Adamsville Road, he lived a long and happy life. He was very much beloved here in Westport and contributed a great deal. Over and over again, it is said to me, "Too bad you didn't tape Oscar Palmer." I'm also taping you because you are such a warm, kind, helpful person, and you too have given Westport much. Let's begin. Where did Mr. Palmer go to school when he first started to go to school?
Mackinac Corner here. There was a school.
How far away is Mackinac Corner?
Oh, about, I'd say quarter of a mile, right here on,
right.
Yes.
Did he walk up?
Yes, he did,
even
yes.
In the first grade?
Yes, first grade, yes.
He walked up, you said once, I think, something about walking with a lot of other children from the neighborhood?
Yes, the children would come from Central Village and walk down, and he would walk with them, yes.
Mm-hmm. And before he went to school, you told me, I think once, that until he was 6 years old and started to school, he wore dresses. Is that true?
Yes. All children wore dresses till they were about 6 years old, and they got pants, mm-hmm. or trousers, but they used to call them pants, mm-hmm. those days, and that was like a style for children to wear dresses. We have some photographs here of little boys and girls, well, little boys that were dressed, and I believe there's a photograph of Mr. Palmer that when he was in dresses.
Yes.
Yes. And they were kind of pretty dresses, you know.
Yes.
Short and, were long and waisted and
yes.
ruffled. And
that's amazing, I think. I mean, nobody else has told me that, and that's a very nice thing to know. Did he like school?
Yes, I think he did. He was a very good writer, and yes, I think he was a good scholar. Yes.
He did
yes.
pretty well. I think what you said at one time, that the teachers in the school, some of them lived here.
Yeah, they boarded here.
They boarded here.
The teachers used to come out from the city, and of course they couldn't travel back and forth, so they had to live on, right in town, and they boarded here.
Mm-hmm.
And the teachers that he had, one or two, that boarded here in this house. And for that matter, when I came to live here about in 1930, one of the teachers came in and visited him. Uh-huh. At that time, she was still living, and
yes.
she visited him.
Yeah. Mr. Palmer was born here in Westport?
Yes, he was born in this house.
Mm-hmm.
In October 30th, 1883. Yes.
And he lived until just this year,
yes,
really,
he
didn't he?
He passed away May 18, 1976, and he was in his 93rd birthday.
Mm-hmm. Did his family live here too? Did his parents live here?
Oh,
where did his parents come from?
They came here in 1851. His mother lived on Connell Road. The,
mm-hmm.
the road is named after the Connell family. Mm-hmm. That was all Connell.
She was a Connell.
She was a Connell.
Mm-hmm.
And the father came from a Westport Harbor, from the High Hill there.
Mm-hmm.
He was born there and lived there till he was about 6 years old. Then
mm-hmm.
they came here.
Then they came here.
His
These are his parents?
Yes.
And what about his grandparents?
His grandfather came here in 1851. See, when Oscar's father was 6 years old, they bought this place
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
They bought it from Edna Brownell,
uh-huh.
and they came here.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was his grandfather, not his father, who went over to Little Compton to learn to be a what did they call it?
A journeyman. No, it was his father.
It was his father
yes.
who did.
He was about 13 years old when he went over, and he lived there
mm-hmm.
on a place. That was on Maple Avenue in Little Compton.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the name of the man that run the place was Benjamin Peirce,
mm-hmm.
and he lived there and boarded there.
That's was the food good? Did he? What about the boarding there? Did he board in the house or did he board nearby?
He lived in a house. He slept in a house, but there might have been 5, 6, or 7 of these young men and young boys. They were
mm-hmm.
boys, and they would have to go across the road to a boarding house to have the meal. There was a boarding house right across the road, and they would go there and have the meal, so the breakfast and dinner and supper.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to be in a hurry because if they didn't get in time, the food would be gone. I suppose they were young and
yes,
hungry.
They were starved to death.
Yeah, they were. So they had a hurry.
Yeah.
And sometimes if any of them didn't get there in time, then they'd go hungry, I suppose, till the next meal.
Yes. Now, did Mr. Palmer, his father do when he, as a profession, was working? What kind of things did he work at, Mr. Palmer's father?
Oh, he was a carpenter.
And he always. And
very
when,
good one, yes.
And he didn't, he sold this place, didn't he, to Mr. Palmer, or was it his grandfather who sold it to him? I know there's a lot of history in here that
yeah,
you told
well,
me a minute ago.
Mr. Palmer, Oscar's father, after he, we would say graduate from
mm-hmm.
his journeyman, he was working as a carpenter. Of course, when he married, he met Oscar's mother,
mm-hmm.
you know, and married, and he lived in Little Compton.
Oh.
And he worked carpenter for different, what we call the contractors.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Yes. And then he went to Fall River.
Oh, I see.
And worked there and built two houses
mm-hmm.
for one for himself, well, both of his houses, one he sold and one he lived in. And then his grandfather, his father, that was Henry Palmer,
mm-hmm.
that was Oscar's grandfather,
mm-hmm.
he decided he was tired to live here and
mm-hmm.
he wanted to go back to Adamsville where
mm-hmm.
his family lived, you know. And so he sold the place to Oscar's father, and that was in 1870.
Mm-hmm.
So
Oscar's father came back then.
He came back from Fall River, and he lived here and started farming. And he carpentered. He
carpentered
he
and
besides,
farmed at the same
yes,
time.
Yes,
yes.
Mm-hmm. And he built a lot of these houses around here, or helped to build them,
mm-hmm.
different houses here. And and he lived here till he died in 1932.
Yes.
Yes. And then the farm went to Oscar then.
Mm-hmm.
He became the owner of this
mm-hmm.
place.
Mm-hmm. And, I want to go back now to when Oscar was a young person or younger person. Did he do anything for sports or anything except just work?
Well, when he went to school, when he was, went to school, he always had chores to do in the morning. And when he got back from school in the afternoon, he had chores to do because his father was working out carpenter.
Yeah.
So, and they ran a poultry farm, and of course they hired someone. There was always somebody living here with a hired man, you know.
Yes.
And so Oscar had the chores to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he had no time for sports when he was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And of course Sundays it was taboo for sports around here, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday was
Yes.
Lord's Day, you
yes.
know, and there was a.
Yes.
So anyway, and then of course, after he got through here at Mackinac Corner School, he went to head of Westport to the Bell School,
mm-hmm.
To high school there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I hear that he was quite an ice skater. When did he learn to ice skate?
Oh yes,
skate
yeah. Well, that would be his sport. The sports that he, you know, yeah, he used to go across the road here. There's a Kirby Pond up the hill there,
mm-hmm.
and he used to go across, and he skated every winter there, you know,
mm-hmm.
and skated till he was about 70 years old, because I used to go up there skating with him. And all the young people used to come down from the village, and we'd all go up there and have skates. And sometimes you'd go there evenings and light a bon- and make a bonfire, you know, light
yes.
a fire, and keep warm, and we'd be skating around, had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
As old as he always fit in with the younger people. He
mm-hmm.
had, he never got old, you know, he
no.
was always had, young ideas. His father used to say that a head is full of nonsense. His head was full of nonsense. That's the truth.
Well, he was just playful.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. He was quite a storyteller, too. He used to tell stories. Sometime, Mrs. Giles, when you come, I'm going to find a lot of papers that I copied, or stories and poems that he used to recite.
Yes.
Yes. I haven't got around to it now, so.
Yes.
But maybe another time that you'll come.
Yes. He's famous for them. I wish you could remember one or two of them, but if you, we'll do that another time.
Yeah, another time.
Another time. And he didn't go down to the beach to swim. Was ice skating the only sport?
No, he used to go swimming summers, and he'd go down to Hicks's Bridge and swim. They were a very strong swimmer. He used to swim across many times from one side to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go there when I been there, not too many times, but I used to go swimming there
mm-hmm.
too. And yes, he was a good swimmer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what kind of transportation, from the back in the 1850s when his grandparents came, what kind of transportation did they have?
Horse and buggy.
Horse and buggy?
Yeah, horse and, wagon, yeah.
Yeah, wagon.
What would they call it, Democrat wagon or something
Democrat
like that?
Democrat wagon?
Yes, I think that was Democrat. I think that's what it was.
Yes.
And they used to go to market.
Mm-hmm.
And in winter time, Mr. Palmer's father, that was Franklin Palmer, he worked summers carpentering, but winter time, because they didn't carpenter,
no.
It was too cold. So they used to go to market, and sometime, because Oscar's father had a hired man that they would go to market, because
mm-hmm.
he would go many times too when he didn't work.
They take vegetables and things to
They
market.
Would take vegetables, they made butter, and they made cheese here.
Mm-hmm.
There was a cheese room upstairs.
For heaven's sakes.
And they used to cure cheese up there,
uh-huh.
and they would sell that.
So you must have had cows.
They kept cows, yes, and raised hogs, you know, for
mm-hmm.
food for the house, you know,
mm-hmm.
and maybe sheep or lamb or
yes.
I'm not you know, but they would get up early in the morning. They'd get ready night before, you know, get the wagon ready, and they'd
yes.
take vegetables to Fall River, and they would get down to what they call Eight Rod Way. In Fall River, and all these people, they would have cabbage and turnips and all those things, and all these people would come, women would come in the morning, early in the morning, and they would buy out the whole wagon lots of times, because things were very reasonable, you know,
yes,
cheese, you know.
Yes.
And they would get up 4 o'clock in the morning and start
mm-hmm.
for the market.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming back, they would bring back grain. They never come back with an empty truck, empty wagon.
Right. They used horses for this wagon?
Yes,
one horse. Did they ever have oxen here?
Yes, they did.
On the farm?
Yes.
Did they ever use that?
Yes. For that matter, Mr. Palmer, Oscar used to raise oxen here in 1932 till he got through farming here, till 1953. We used to have little oxen here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's half a dozen ox yokes right here on the place now.
What did he do with the oxen?
Oh, they used to work them, and they used to pick up stones, and they made a little cart, and they were small. There wasn't those huge oxen, you know,
mm-hmm.
small. He was training them, you know, he'd raise them and train them, and
yes.
and he'd sell them.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go around, and he'd hitch them up to a cart, and we'd go around picking up little pebble stones after plowing, you know, these old
yes.
stones, you know.
Yes.
And we'd have a lot of fun with them, and demonstrating that. People would come in with children, you know, and the children would ride tip cars.
Isn't it?
We had a lot of fun. We still got some pictures around here that was taken, you know, of
mm-hmm.
children and oxen and everybody.
Well, that's wonderful. I think that's very interesting. When did the family stop using a horse and wagon and so on and come to some other means of transportation?
Oh, I think in the way was told me, in 1918, Mr. Palmer bought a Ford car.
Mm-hmm.
Or what would they call it? He bought a car, and that's the first car that, you know, he
mm-hmm.
had. And then they stopped using the wagons. And before then, I suppose they wherever they went, they always went on horseback,
mm-hmm.
or for that matter, Mr. Palmer used to go to school, at Bell School, on horseback,
because
mm-hmm. there was no buses around.
No.
No. So they had to find their own transportation, so he used to go on horseback.
Mm-hmm. I wondered how he got to school,
yeah.
to up to the Bell School,
because
that's quite a piece.
Yeah. And then sometimes bicycle. He had a bicycle and pedal bicycle up there to school, so they had it hard those days.
Yes.
To get to school, they had to work hard, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not only did they have to work before they went to school,
yeah,
but do it all the time when they were, but just getting there was so
to get education.
Yes.
Much easier nowadays, isn't
it?
Yes,
certainly is.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether I could think of any better questions to ask you than this. When Mr. Palmer finished the Bell School, what did he begin to do for work?
Well, he was working here, you know, on the farm.
He was a farmer.
And his father still a carpenter, so he was running the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to tell the story about many times, he would plant, sometimes he would plant onions, all onions, maybe acre and a half onions. You know, there's lots of onions, acre and a half. And he would sell them, go to market and sell them. And, of course, the people around here, they used to go to market, would come in and buy from him,
mm-hmm.
and they'd take it to
the
market.
Markets would be in Fall River?
Yes, in Fall River, yeah. In New Bedford, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But he would supply the farmers around here with the vegetables. And many times he would say, at the end of the year, all the hard labor and all that, his profit would be $45.
For heaven's sake.
So they had to work very hard.
Of course, they lived
days.
On the food they raised,
yes.
and they probably owned
yeah.
their house, and the
yeah.
taxes weren't so high.
No.
Or anything like
There's
that.
There's some tax bills here now. All they paid is $15
mm.
taxes here on this place at that time. That would be in the 1880s or 90s,
mm.
sometimes like that.
Mm-hmm.
The taxes were very low.
Mm-hmm. Think of it compared to today.
Yes.
Yes.
And, we were talking, oh yes, when he got out, yes, after he got out of school. And then in when he was about 20 years old, he went to politics. Not voluntary, that he was appointed. I think that was Edward Macomb, but that was our town clerk
mm-hmm.
now. And someone else, George Russell and some other, or maybe Frank Slocum. There were three selectmen, and they appointed him as a registry of voters in town, and he was just over 20 years old, and he kept that position till he was for 37 years. And some years, see how small our town was.
Yeah.
For many years, they'd only register at election. That would be election in the spring, the town election,
mm-hmm.
and he would get maybe $8. His wages would be in, and then when they have a state election, maybe 16, and of course every 4 years presidential election would be the same. So there was very small wages.
Very small,
yes, at that time. And that, I'm talking perhaps in the 20s.
Yes.
Perhaps in that
mm-hmm.
those years there,
mm-hmm.
Below 20s.
In the
and
teens, maybe.
In the
mm-hmm.
teens years,
mm-hmm.
yes. And then he kept that till he was, well, as I said, 37,
mm-hmm.
for 37 years he was. And then he, in 1943, I think there was a Jack Oliver was an assessor in our town, and he resigned, and Mr. Palmer run for this office for a year, just 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
There was only 1 year left to serve, and he run, and he got elected on that, and so then he stayed on, and then he had to run again for 3 years, and every 3 years he run then till 90, I think he was for 25 years he was assessor of town of Westport, and he resigned in 1968, I think. He
mm-hmm.
was resigned. He was
he was assessor for a good long time then.
For 25 years
mm-hmm.
he was assessor. He was in his 80s. They wouldn't let him resign. Every one of those men that he worked with, assessor that he worked with in the office there, they always demanded him. They said, "You've got to run. We can't let you go." And he was thinking about resigning about 10 years before
mm.
he resigned, because he was there so many years.
I know. Did he try to farm at all when he was assessor, or garden, or anything like that?
He farmed it after, of course, his father was sick, and So he kept on farming, you know, he kept going till about 1953, he gave up, sold out the rest of the farm, but he just went down, you know, he had a little dairy farm here, he ran the dairy farm, and then he just kept selling out till he got to about 2 cows, and then he says, well, I'll let them go now, and sold out the
What
cows.
About the chickens? He had when he was young,
yes.
It was a chicken. They raised chickens.
Yes, there was hen houses all over the place. They used to have them in a separate hen houses. They keep about a flock of 25 or 30 to a house, and there were little hen houses all over the farm. But they got out of that in about 1920, and then they went to dairy farm. His father did.
Uh-huh.
Franklin did.
What did they do with the eggs that all these chickens have?
Well, there was farmers coming in here, and they sold it wholesale to the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
They never peddled it out at retail, but the wholesale
I see. Did they ever take them to anything like Fall River or anything like that?
The
farmer just came and bought them.
Jim came on the place here and bought all the eggs, cases of them, you know. At that time, they didn't put them in cotton boxes. They kept them in cases.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd have loved to have seen these little chicken houses all over the place.
Yes, well, the last one just went down with that Hurricane Bell that we had this summer. Yes, the last one just collapsed, you know. That was the last one. I hate to see it go because that was
a memory of
the old
yes.
hen houses around.
Yes. After he retired,
could we go back when
yes.
he went to the service?
Yes.
That would be
that
bad.
I don't know anything about.
Yes.
Yes, that's fine.
Well, in the First World War, that was 1916 or something,
mm-hmm.
He might have been 30 years old then.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he only had his father and mother, and they were farming here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his father was farming, kept a dairy farm, and he kept hens, still kept poultry himself.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, they went out of business about 1920, poultry business. They went out of poultry business, but that was his father.
Mm-hmm.
But he kept on with poultry business to give him a little extra money.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided he would go to this business, and he borrowed $1,000 from his father.
Mm-hmm.
And he told him he would pay him at a certain time, you know. And of course, in the meantime, he got drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have stayed out. But he felt...
Farmers could
yeah,
stay out.
Yes,
you know, they
yeah.
could,
and there are many farmers around here stayed out.
Mm-hmm.
But he felt that he should go.
Mm-hmm.
Because his buddies around here, they all went, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so he decided, well, why should I stay?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he was on a draft board, you know, drafting all these young men. And
mm-hmm.
him, and he said, why would I have to stay back? And they're all going.
Yes.
So anyway... He was
very conscientious.
Yes, and he, so before he went, he had to sell out all his poultry, poultry business, and he lost a lot of money.
Mm.
But when he went, 2 days before the armistice.
Oh dear.
Wait a minute. No, it was the day of the armistice, a day before the armistice. I think it was. Anyway, they got to Connecticut, somewhere to Connecticut on a train, and they stopped all the trains, and they heard that the war was over. So that must have been the day of the armistice.
Yeah.
So, of course, not getting the news so quickly here in Westport.
No.
The father and mother didn't know. They were already. They thought that he was gone. That
yes.
he was going south somewhere
yes.
to a camp, and they. Of course, I suppose felt terrible, you know,
yes.
being
Lonesome.
Left alone.
Yes.
And they were almost in the late 60s, you
yes.
know. Yeah. And so this night, about 12 o'clock, there was a knock at the door here. And the father went to, well, they were in bed, you know. They
yes.
went to the door, and here was Oscar standing in the door. He said, what are you doing here? He says, well, Father, don't you know the war's over? So
he never did get.
No, he never got
any further than Connecticut.
Connecticut. That was, yeah, it was the day of the armistice, I believe it was. Well, the story was told to me, but
it's
I
so
can't
cute,
remember.
Yes,
much.
Isn't that wonderful?
So that was his.
That was his war experience.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's marvelous. Can you think of any other interesting experiences
that
he had?
Something else. Let's see. Well, then after that, of course, his father was still in the dairy business,
yes.
So of course he took over, and he went to work. John Davis was running the garage, a repair shop, and he
mm-hmm.
used to sell cars, Ford cars,
mm-hmm.
up the road here, a main road.
Yes, it's still, yes.
So Pa Oscar decided that to go to work, and he still helped his father on the farm. He went to work, and he earned enough of money to pay his father back,
mm-hmm.
that $1,000 he owed him. And didn't take him, took him about a year or so, but he saved and paid him back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they were those days.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And then from then on, of course, his father got sick in some point in 1930 or something, or 32 or something. About maybe 1928, his father got sick. He had a stroke, and he was flat on his back. And then, of course, Oscar had to take over, and he had a lot of people come here and help him out. But then, in 1930, I came here,
mm-hmm.
and I took care of his father for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen him through, and
mm-hmm.
I've seen Mr. Palmer through.
Mm-hmm.
I've
been in our address.
Well,
it's
his
wonderful.
Father said to me, if you want to stay here, you'll always have a home.
That marvelous?
And so I stayed.
Yes.
I was young.
Yes.
I was very young.
Yes.
When I came here.
Yeah.
I stayed all these years.
Yes.
And then...
I love it. I think it's just beautiful. You know, don't you think it's a beautiful place?
Well, I've been here so long, I can't...
You can't see it?
I can't see the beauty here. It's very comfortable, and I've always been so fortunate that I came here. I've never had to worry about, I won't say that, maybe I had things to worry about, but it was always comfortable.
You were always secure,
there was always
really.
Plenty of everything here.
Yes. Even in the Depression, even in the Depression,
I came here in Depression time. I didn't have any work, and I just worked part-time here and there, and, you know, the wages were very low, and I used to take care of sick people,
mm-hmm.
a nurse, you know,
mm-hmm.
and my health wasn't very good at that
mm-hmm.
time. I was kind of run down, and I was 23
mm-hmm.
when I came here,
mm-hmm.
and so this nurse that I worked with, she heard about Mr. Palmer was looking for someone in
mm-hmm.
Westport,
mm-hmm.
and I had no desire to come out in Westport, in the country.
Where did you live?
Well, my home was in Boston, but I came to New Bedford because I had work there.
Yes.
See, at that time, Depression
yes.
time, you had to go wherever.
Wherever you could
was.
Find work, yes.
And my wages were $18 a week,
mm-hmm.
and that was for 6 days.
Yes.
And so I couldn't work, I was sick, and
yes.
I had a friend in New Bedford, so I stayed with this lady. She was 76 years old,
mm-hmm.
Mrs. Jenny McMurray, and she was a lovely person, almost more like my mother then.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed with her. And then this nurse friend of mine told me about this place, so I came out here.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'll stay 3 weeks, that's all I can stand it here. That was in sometime in May,
yes.
and coming on summer. And I said, well, I'll stay 3 weeks and kind of maybe build up myself.
Yes.
And when I saw the condition here that they needed me,
uh-huh.
you know, Oscar had to do the farm work and then come in and take care of his father. And he kept him so nice and such, I couldn't, you know, so I said, well, I'll stay in the summer.
Yes.
So I stayed, and I got kind of acquainted with his father, and he was very nice. And then he always worried about me, what would happen to me. He seemed to like me, you know,
mm-hmm.
from the beginning. And so anyway, he used to say to me, if you stay, I used to tell him, I used to say, Mr. Palmer, I won't be able to stay, I'll have to go, because I was so lonely in the country.
Right.
And he said to me, if you stay, you will always have a home here. I had no home. You know?
No.
And so he said, you will always have a home. And so I kept on staying. When fall came, well, they needed me. And then next winter, they needed me. And then, so I stayed.
You always needed. You're after you, after
you. 5 years and a half, I took care of his father.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, after that,
This
was home. And I said, well, so Mr. Palmer, Oscar said, well, if you want to stay on the way you did, you can stay on. And he says, I won't bother you. He says, you will have your own way and run
uh-huh.
the house, and I'll run the business outside. And so I stayed on.
And then when did you start? When did you start the little antique business?
From the beginning, when I came here, I always went out collecting. Every time I'd go somewhere, I'd go shopping because I had all that to do. Mm-hmm. I'd always stop at an antique shop or somewhere, and I'd always bring something home. And there was a joke here. Oscar's father used to say, and when I come in, he said, "Well, what did you buy today?" Uh-huh. That would be the joke, you know. Uh-huh. But I'd always bring something, and I collected so many things, and there were so many things here, too. So in 1960, we converted the barn into an antique shop. And
so I wish I had known it. I would have been down here all the time looking at things.
I had some beautiful things, but I'm down now. I've sold out practically everything, and I just have a few things there now. But I will.
When we finish this tape, could I go back and look at the antique shop?
There's nothing there.
Not a thing.
Not a thing there, just old farm tools and things. I've sold out practically everything. Mm-hmm. But I still have a lot of things that are stored away that I would put next spring. Mm-hmm. And those will be...
Let me know when you put them out next spring and I'll come over and look at them.
But those will be the real old antiques, going back, you know, maybe to 1800s.
Because I'm awfully interested in them.
Yes, I believe you are. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because, you see, our house is almost as old as this.
But you must have a lot of pieces.
I do have a lot of things, but I like... You know, you can always change. You have a thing for quite a long time, and then it's fun to change and get something new.
That's right.
You know, I mean, something you might that might match better or something like that. Well, Eleanor, I'm terribly grateful to you. You just saved this family's life. Now, whose cows are those out the window?
Those are Mr. Little Chapel's next door.
Oh.
This gentleman that was here, that was Edward Chapels.
Yes.
He moved down here about in 1945.
Mm-hmm.
He brought his family down here and bought this place next door, and he hired this farm just for a few small stock, you know. And then they mingled with Mr. Palmer's cows at that time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He hired a pasture, and then after Mr. Palmer got out of business, he hired the whole farm, and he's had it, and that's about 27 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So then about 5 years ago, he turned the place over to his son, and his son owns the
those
cows.
Are beautiful cows.
I think it's about 50 or 60 head there.
Really?
Sometime. Yes, yeah.
My goodness. Well, they're awfully good looking. What kind are they? They're brown and white.
They're Holsteins.
What did Mr. Palmer have?
Mostly Holstein. Those are good for milking, you know.
Yes.
Holstein are good milk cows.
Yes. And they made the milk that made all this wonderful cheese that you made upstairs in this room.
See, they used to make cheese and butter, too. And they would carry it. And I wonder sometimes how they kept it firm in summertime, the butter.
Yes.
They would put it in ice. And they never had no refrigeration, so everything had to be lowered into the well.
Mm-hmm. And that's how they
kept all this cheese and
butter.
In the summertime, the milk and things, they would... Of course, the regular milk that they sold to the milkman, you know, the milkman used to come with a truck or can pick up the milk. They would have wooden barrels, like cut in half, like, you know, tubs, like, and they would fill that with ice in summer and keep the milk cool till you picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite a hard thing to do, you know.
Yes. You had to wash all those cans for the milk and all that.
And in 1935, I think that it was compelled for everybody to buy milk coolers.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, farmers and Brownie had to buy milk coolers because they wouldn't go for ice anymore and
Did you ever, did Mr. Palmer ever go up to Mr. Hart up here and get ice?
Yes. For that matter, they used to work there in the wintertime on the pond cutting ice.
That's what I wondered.
Yes. And there was a...
But Mr. Palmer did?
Oh, yeah, he worked there. Yes, they used to work there with horses, you know, a team of horses. And they would cut this ice and cake, you know, and cakes like, squares like, quite thick. I imagine they were 6 or 8 inches thick. And they would store them in the big ice building there. Well, it isn't there now. It was knocked down by a hurricane in 1938. But they used to, and the ice saw that they used to use is right here on this place.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was till somebody told me about it.
Probably Mr. Hart may have told you.
No. somebody else that came here and told me what it was. I thought it was a regular saw that maybe the saw on woodwork, but it isn't like that. It's very different.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So.
And was that before you knew Mr. Palmer, when he used to cut ice?
Oh, yes. They never cut ice at my time. No.
No.
No, I'm talking maybe in 1900, 1910, and those years.
Yeah, and his father probably even.
Oh, yes. They all used to work there, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in those days, I mean, say in the 1900 and those, the people used to work out the taxes on the town roads, too, you know. They had a horse and team.
Mm-hmm.
And they would work with a horse and team, and they would cut away rocks, or they were building roads, you know, those days, and things like that.
That's how they got their paid their taxes.
That's the way they would work out their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And here, Mr. Palmer used to have a cart, and they used to work right here, and they had a crusher across the road here.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Palmer had a cart and a pair of horses, and he would work with a crusher, and they would use that crush stone to fill in roads and things like that, you know, when they were building roads.
That's amazing. Have you ever found any Indian relics here on this place?
Oh, yes. He that was his hobby. He was a collector, and he found, when they plowed the land here, he found, many, many good pieces, yes. He's got quite a big collection. You've seen it, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's quite an enormous collection,
yes.
Really.
Yes.
There must have been a campground or something campground near here, do you suppose?
Well, I imagine the Indians always lived near the water, and
mm-hmm.
this brook here would be the where they would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He found a lot of arrowheads, good ones too, on this place.
All right, now let's just take a minute before we finish, and let's get this grandfather, father, grandmother, and Mr. Palmer straightened out. His grandfather and grandmother came about 1851.
His grandmother and grandfather bought this place in 1851, and
mm-hmm.
Mr. Palmer's father, Franklin,
mm-hmm.
was about 6 years old then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was about 6 years old.
Yes, 6 years old
when they came,
yeah.
And they came from Little Compton.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they got tired of living here, and his father got tired of living here, and moved to Adamsville and sold the place to Mr. Palmer.
Yes, yes.
So you see, it's kind of complicated the way it goes back
and
forth.
That would be Oscar's grandfather, Henry Palmer, that sold the place to Oscar's father, and then moved to Little Compton, to
Adamsville.
To Adamsville here, yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm terribly grateful to you for giving me this time and telling me all this. I think it's wonderful, and if you can think of any more stories before I go, you think of them and I'll tell
them. Well, I can't think of anything just now.
Well, if you think of any, call me up.
Yes, well, you come in again, maybe.
I
have some papers here and stories that he used to tell, and maybe we could make
another tape
of those stories.
Of the
that would be interesting.
That'd be fascinating.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome.
Good afternoon.
Yes.